And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to episode 962 of Down to Dunk. You can find us on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcast. Go to www.theathletic.com/down-to-dunk to get The Athletic for $3.99 a month. I am Luke, joined this morning by Andrew.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Slam through.
Taylor.
Gosh, I can't wait for spring to come. I was just reminiscing about the beautiful herb garden I had when I was growing up. Man, good times.
Baby, come back.
Boom, boom, boom.
Any kind of fool could see there was something and everything about.
Slam through.
And Jay.
It's Jay. So it's time, like T-H-Y-M-E?
Thyme.
Yeah, thymies.
Yeah.
Huh. So that was a reach a little bit, but
not a
a reach.
Not your best.
Yeah, that didn't land super hard.
But I feel like maybe you guys didn't come with the energy that was needed to accept.
You know, Luke's yelling at the beginning was maybe his worst.
Here's the problem is that
it was. He had to catch his breath in the middle of it.
Here's the problem is that I'm still getting used to the new thing, and I forget it normally. I have to do it twice. And so it caught me off guard that I have to start yelling so quickly after the athletic noise.
I'm giving you signals.
I know, but I forget.
What's hard is last week you came with your best intro, maybe of all time.
You know, it's just, I got to be better. You know, I got to bring that energy every week, and I didn't, and I'll be better. I'll learn my lesson. But Andrew doesn't remind you before he plays it the first time, and I didn't have to re-record.
I have to remind you every week for like 10 weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So well, of course. The Thunder are 9-11, 12th in the Western Conference.
Not bad enough.
They beat the Houston Rockets 104-87 on Wednesday night, which was just a strange time of basketball watching. They currently sit at bottom 10 in both offensive and defensive ratings still. Or I guess they're not bottom 10 in defensive rating according to Basketball Reference. They're 12th worst.
Oh, God. That's getting better, isn't it?
It's gotten a little better.
Oh, no.
It's gotten a little bit better. But they still have the 29th ranked offense in the NBA.
Good. Thank God.
So their expected win-loss, the Basketball Reference does an expected win-loss based on, I think, betting odds and things of that nature, and they should be 6-14 is what the expected win loss says. So the Thunder have had some luck, and they've had some straight up really good games.
Well, and let's see, the games that we had to postpone are a Rockets game and mm-hmm. what's the other one? 76ers? No, wait, what was mm-hmm. the other one? 76, was it that one?
76ers, yeah.
So those could be two more losses as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, crossing our fingers here.
This is true.
You never know.
You know, the good thing as I look at it, though, is even being 9-11, if they go on a 3 or 4 game losing streak, mm-hmm. They are right there in the bottom. And I think you brought it up. I think this is a dream team conversation. So, but you talking about the fact that there's only two kind of what you would say are guaranteed tank teams. Does that make sense? And was that one? And yeah. I think you look at Minnesota and Detroit. Now, would you say Minnesota would be a team? I think that you're probably right in the sense that they're too far gone to try to pull anything back. But talk about a team that's been ravaged by injury and COVID. Like their best player hasn't played but four games all season. He's also out tonight against the Thunder. It's just one of those things. Like, I could see them, and they're not too far. I mean, they're six and a half games out of the playoffs. You've got, you know, a little bit of a shot, like if you went on a run, but you've got to see what you have before you can do that. So that's if your goal for the Thunder is to get a top five, at least a shot at a top five pick, which I think is the goal. It's not as far out of reach, even though some of these games where they play like the Rockets, it's like, what is happening? Like, that's a game that you would expect to lose. And the Rockets come back last night and just throttled the Grizzlies. And John Wall was back and all those things, you know, that apparently makes them an entirely different team. But it's not one of those things where I'm concerned at this point as far as their ability to get into that bottom five of the league. So how do you guys feel about that?
I feel like you just used the phrase right there in the bottom.
I feel like every week you've been throwing stuff out there and Luke and I have to put our chastity belts on.
You're doing this on purpose, Jay. I truly believe.
So I would tend to agree
chum in the water
with you, Jay, that I don't think that you can worry, because really the only teams that I think that you can have real concern about for sure being below the Thunder in the standings are Minnesota and Detroit. And Washington's there, and if you go to Tankathon, you feel worried because they're at like 11th right now. But if you really take a look at who the teams are, what the records are, I think that they still definitely have a shot, because Chicago wants to win games, Orlando wants to win games, Miami wants to win games. There's a lot of these teams that, and it's like aligned through the organization. Like, everybody wants to win. Of course, the players and the coaches want to win. That's every single organization. That's what they all want. That's what they have to do. That's their job, is to win games. But as far as like front office alignment, Minnesota would have liked to win games. I think they still would like to win games, but I think that they can, you know, say that they have been one of the casualties of this season with regards to wins and losses. But the Mavs will be better. The Pelicans will be better.
Why couldn't that be us?
Why can't
we be Minnesota and be 5-16?
Well, I think
I'll tell you what franchise I don't want to be.
Just this one year, Jay.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think that some of it is that they have had some luck in the crunch, in the clutch time.
Yeah.
I mean, that has been certainly a part of
and
this.
They try really hard.
They do. They have a really good coach, and they're bought in. So, I mean, and that is not the worst thing in the world. I think it's really good for development.
Yeah, it's good for development, but it's also like, if you think about this and extrapolate it forward to when they do get two or three of these kind of franchise changing guys, or one or two of these guys, to have a coach and Coach Daigneault, that is able to get what he's getting from these guys should really set you up to have the coach that you want for the next decade of this new run, just as far as what he brings to the team. And by every indicator that we're seeing, he is the guy for this franchise moving forward. Like, he carries himself really well. I think he's getting out of the team the kind of basketball that you want to see in this next era of the Thunder. I don't know. I just, that is one of the things that's both can be frustrating if you're looking at them pulling out wins where you're like, what in the world? They didn't have Shai Gilgeous. They didn't have their top two players and beat the Rockets.
Yeah.
You know, but in, if you're looking long-term as far as finding the right coach, I think Sam, I would say obviously 20 some odd games into the first season of his career, is that all indications are is that we've got a good one in Coach Mark. So,
yeah. He's at least good for this stage of the team.
I think he might be too good for this stage of the team.
No. I mean, he's good for development of players. I think it remains to be seen. I mean, Kenny Atkinson, 2 years ago, everybody was like, man, the Nets have one of the best coaches in the league, one of the best guys in the NBA. And the minute that they get good players, it's like, okay,
They get a player coach. Yeah.
And
yeah, but don't you think some of that is because of the way they got their good players? Like if Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert and Jared Allen became their guys that were like elite championship caliber players, I think it may be a different conversation. When you bring in from the outside Kyrie, not James Harden necessarily at that point, but Kevin Durant, I think it puts a different kind of expectation for the coach to where you need a name. It's the same thing. Like there were rumors that Kevin Durant didn't love Billy Donovan because of, you know, Billy Donovan's a college coach, didn't have pro experience kind of thing. Like I think that Kenny Atkinson may still be there if those guys that were already there that were kind of grew up in the system, which is by all indications how the Thunder are going to grow. I just think that there's a chance that he could have grown with them, maybe.
I just think that they're just vastly different jobs to coach like a contender and to coach a team like this. And I think that there's guys that are fit for jobs like this. And there's guys that are fit for, you know, coaching big time players, and Coach Degnault could become that. I just would be skeptical, because I think like Scott Brooks was great for the development of this team. And I think that you could argue that they held on to him for too long, that if they would have hired a different coach, you know, 2 years earlier, like things could have been different. And so I know the Thunder learned a lot from their first run, and I just wonder what exactly they had learned about coaching and that coaching change in particular. I wonder what they learn from it.
You know, it's so interesting too. I mean, how different would the entire franchise and the team be if we had won if we beat Golden State and went to the finals and won, or if Russ didn't get hurt and they won with Scott Brooks that in 13, you wonder, like, would Scott Brooks still be here, or would he be on a good team? I mean, okay. So look at Doc Rivers. He won with the Celtics in 2008 and basically got 10 years to do whatever he wanted to do. And then it was just last year that people were starting to be like, is Doc Rivers maybe not a good coach? Mm-hmm. And now he's on the 76ers and it's, wow, look what Doc Rivers has been able to do. If you win one championship, you get so much wiggle room and so much time to do whatever. I mean,
without a doubt, it's what matters most.
It's what matters most. And I wonder if Scott Brooks would still be here if they had won.
I think there'd be statues of
probably him. Probably not. Probably not.
Think so. And also, like, Doc Rivers has had success everywhere. You look at the situation in Washington.
But, with the Clippers, though, he had really good regular season teams, but they never really did much.
I'm just saying Scott Brooks hasn't had a good regular season team even.
Since OKC.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. But I wonder if Scott Brooks coaches differently if he wins a championship in 2013.
I mean, I think everything changes for everybody, probably.
Everything changes. Butterfly Effect.
Butterfly Effect. Great movie.
Great movie.
Uh-huh. Is it?
Gosh, man. That movie, like, gives me nightmares, though. The mailbox part.
I know. I kind of remember it, but I have not seen it in probably
You blocked it
years.
Out. You blocked it out, yeah, dude.
Too scary.
Too scary.
It's good for you. Hey, look, can I borrow your music for my game?
Sure. Right. But you got to pay.
Okay.
In non-fungi tokies.
So this week, Fred VanVleet became the all-time single game scoring leader for the Raptors.
Wow.
He scored, what did he have? 16?
54.
So he joined the 50 club. So it made me wonder, and my friend Peter was texting me about this. Made us wonder who leads each team in like single game scoring. So I found a list
for the whole franchise,
for
all time.
All time.
Okay.
So I thought we'd go through some teams and see. I'm gonna give each of you one guess.
Oh God. All right.
And let's see how many we can actually get. Okay. So we're gonna try to go pretty quick. So we'll start with the Brooklyn Nets. Everybody gets one guess as to who has scored the most points all time for the Brooklyn Nets.
Gosh. I guess I'll say Vince.
Okay.
I'll say that it's already Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Oh shoot, that might be right.
Jamon?
I was going to go with Vince Carter, but let me say Kyrie Irving.
It's Darren Williams. He scored 57 points.
57?
Yep.
Wow, Darren. Great job, dear.
Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, no.
Don't think too hard on this one.
Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker is correct. Jaymon with 1 point. Keep your own score.
Okay, okay.
Okay, some of these you're going to have a quick trigger on.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Okay.
Chicago Bulls.
Michael Jordan.
Got it.
Keep your own score. Cleveland Cavaliers.
LeBron James.
Yes, we'll give that to L-Man because you're tied.
That's 2 points for me. I'm keeping
Dallas Mavericks.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Yep. That's Tayshaun. Denver Nuggets.
Carmelo.
No.
Wow.
Nikola Jokic.
No.
Karl Malone. That's not the Nuggets.
That still counts as your guess.
You're just thinking of mountain teams.
I know.
You're thinking of mountains, dude.
David Thompson scored 73 points in a game.
Whoa.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Detroit Pistons.
Oh, that's going to be hard.
Isaiah Thomas?
No.
Detroit. Oh, it's probably... Oh.
Should I give you a hint? He was traded for a guy that played for the Washington Wizards. Back in the day.
Traded for a guy who played for the Washington Wizards back in the day, but they weren't the Washington Wizards.
They were.
I'm not even going to do it. I can't even think about this.
All right. 3, 2,
Sheed.
One.
Richard Hamilton.
Jerry Stackhouse.
Oh.
Stacks, dude.
Traded for Rip Hamilton. Next one, Golden State Warriors.
Steph.
No. Guys, come on.
Huh?
Klay Thompson.
No. Guys.
Baron Davis.
No. Before you were born, my man.
Oh.
Wilt Chamberlain?
Yeah, Wilt.
You guys couldn't even give L-Man a chance. He was about to say it.
No, it's not.
He was about to say it.
No.
I saw the W and he was... He's so disappointed.
Gosh,
yeah, Will Chamberlain, 100 points.
Wow, 100
points. Wow.
Yeah. Remember the sign? You know the sign?
Oh.
Houston Rockets.
James Harden.
Yes. Tayshaun. Indiana Pacers.
Reggie Miller
is correct.
Four.
Killing it. If you guys get this one, this is double the points if you get it. Clippers.
Oh, man.
For double the points.
Double the points for the Clippers.
I'll give you a hint. This happened in 1990.
Oh, God. 1990. I have no idea who's on the Clippers in 1990.
That's why it's worth double the points.
I have no guess.
All right. Charles Smith.
I was about to say that.
Los Angeles Lakers.
Kobe Bryant.
That's right. 81 points, obviously. Great game. Memphis Grizzlies. I'll tell you what year this happened in. This happened in 2007. And I think this is the lowest total for any franchise. It's only 45 points.
Is it Pau?
It's not Pau. That counts as your guess.
Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay is incorrect. Luke, I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
Kendrick Perkins sat on this man.
Kendrick Perkins.
That counts as your guess? I don't know how Zach Kendrick Perkins Randall would sit on himself. And he also
dude, it's happened before. It's very painful.
And he also never played for the Grizzlies.
Dude, I thought it was a trick question.
No, Mike Miller scored 45 points in 07.
Oh, wow. Great job, Mike. Rookie of the year.
In a loss.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Miami Heat.
Dwayne Wade?
No. Nope.
Dwayne Wade.
LeBron James.
Good job, L-Man.
Oh, wow.
Milwaukee Bucks, before you guess, I'm going to tell you this happened in 2006, and the guy had zero assists when he scored 57 points.
In 2006?
Brandon Jennings?
No. Ray Allen?
No.
I have no idea.
Bob Sura?
Ray Allen was with the Sonics at that point.
Was he with? Was he there at that point? My bad.
His His last name is the name of a color.
Oh dang it!
Dave Yellow.
Michael Red.
Dave Yellow.
Dave Yellow.
I would have accepted Red. David Yellow. No, Michael Red scored 57 points. He was awesome. Minnesota Timberwolves.
Kevin Garnett.
No.
Oh, Kevin Love.
No.
Oh.
He has three names, L-Man.
Ricky Yellow.
No, think about it. I don't know.
Scored 50,
yes, you do.
Scored 56 in 2018.
Names. Three names.
I don't know. We've
already talked about him in this podcast.
He's on the Timberwolves. He's not playing tonight because he had COVID. Karl Anthony Towns scored 56 points in 2018. He had 56 and 15 in that game.
Whoa, baby. Sick.
Pelicans. Don't think too hard on
Anthony
this.
Anthony Davis?
Yes, L-Man. New York Knicks.
What's the answer?
New York Knicks?
New York Knicks.
Oh, gosh. This is a...
The hint is this happened in 2014.
I know who this is. It's...
Jeremy Lin?
No.
That's
your guess, Jamon. 2014.
Am I overthinking this?
Yes.
Carmelo.
Yes, that's it. Okay. He scored six.
Really? Oh, see, I thought it was someone else. Yep.
I was thinking it was the guy, the dude in the 90s.
He scored 62.
Not Patrick Ewing. I mean, before that.
John Starks.
The previous record was Bernard King.
Bernard King, that's who I was thinking.
Scored 60 on Christmas, but then Melo surpassed him.
Wow, the legendary Nick, Carmelo Anthony.
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Kevin Durant.
Russell Westbrook.
Ding, ding.
That's eight.
That's eight.
What was his score?
He scored...
That happens a lot.
Russ did... Let's see.
56?
No. It didn't even say on here.
Because KD had 54. That was his top here.
That's going to bother me.
And he got 54 like two or three times. Couldn't get past it. Mm-hmm. 54 bubble. We've all been
58,
there.
58.
58.
Yeah, 58 was the total. Orlando Magic.
Dwight.
No. Dwight.
Shaq.
No. Come on, Jay.
Okay, I have a second guess.
This happened in 2004, Jay.
Oh, of course.
Tracy McGrady.
T-Mac. Yeah, 62. Philadelphia 76ers.
Allen Iverson.
No.
It's not.
Oh, yeah. That's.
This was all before we were born.
Oh, Dr. J?
No. In the 60s, Luke.
I have no idea.
This is the name you were about to say earlier, but you got cut off.
I was about to say earlier?
Yeah. It was
60s. What's the only player you were from the 60s?
You were so mad that Taylor said the name before you even had a chance to say it.
The only player from the 60s that you would know.
He is a stilt.
I'm not giving myself.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Only?
Phoenix Suns.
Devin Booker.
Devin Booker is correct. He scored 70 in a game. Portland Trailblazers.
Dame Lillard.
Damian Lillard is correct. Oh, good job, Jay. That's two in a row. Sacramento Kings, if you get this, this is worth 10 points.
Oh, gosh. That
Earl the Pearl?
No.
So it seems like, since it's worth that many, that it's kind of hard to get, is my assumption.
That's how this works.
It's not.
Just say Vlade Divac and let's move on.
10 seconds. 10, 9.
Pedro Stojakovic.
No. Ooh. 7, 6. Come on, Luke. Come on, you can get this, Luke. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jack Twyman.
Jack Twyman.
Spurs.
Timmy.
No.
Oh, dang it.
George Gervin.
No.
No.
I have no idea. David Robinson.
David Robinson is incorrect. The answer is David Robinson.
Robbie's son, David.
David. Toronto Raptors.
Fred VanVleet.
No. Yes.
Is it?
Well, yeah. That's why we're playing the game.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly why we're playing the game. Utah Jazz.
Carl.
Nope.
Really? Huh. Must be AK-47 then.
No, this is in the 70s.
I'll just back away.
Okay. Luke?
Pistol Pete.
Pistol Pete Maravich, yeah. Take it.
Did it.
Washington Wizards. This happened in 2006.
Gilbert
Arenas.
Gilbert, yep.
Jay, why did you back off? You were about to say it.
That's it.
Nine.
That's the game.
Yes! I got 9 Taylor points, wins. Jay. I got 10. Oh my God, Luke won. We kept our own score. I win.
Oh, let's go to our most famous segment, and that is
Ted John's Back Toy Bickering Mystery. Ted John's Back Toy Bickering Mystery.
Hey guys, welcome. This season has not been fun. It has not been fun. Now, I know what you're thinking. Of course this hasn't been fun. They're literally trying to be bad. But my argument has nothing to do with wins and losses. It has to do with style and an appropriate acknowledgement from a team's ownership, front office, and coaching staff that basketball is entertainment.
Hmm.
It's the number one thing that basketball is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are teams that have a record under 500 that are way more fun than this team. This is just to show you, you can be a bad team and be fun.
Okay.
Charlotte, Atlanta, Cleveland, New York. Yeah, even New York is more fun to watch. Washington, that's a recent development. New Orleans.
How is New York more fun to watch? You're going to have to really sell me on that.
Hey, man, they're getting triple doubles. They're getting highlights. Do you think we're popping up on any highlights? Do you think we're popping up on a night of Sports Center?
Yes.
No.
Yes, it's happened.
Well, Isaiah Roby, yeah, that one. The crossover and the dunk.
He broke. He just absolutely broke Nick Vucevic.
So is that fun to you?
Ha ha, fun, yeah.
That was fun for that one time, and then you're like, well, that was Isaiah Roby.
I just don't think the Knicks are... I think the Knicks and the Thunder are on the same level of fun.
Okay, I'll let you have it.
Okay.
New Orleans and Mavericks.
Oh, New Orleans is fun?
Still more fun. Zion is just so much more fun. Brandon Ingram and Zion just being on the court is so much more fun.
Yeah, I guess.
You know it. You'd like.
I've seen a few of their games that have been misery.
Oh, absolutely. Every one of our games has been misery.
Not true.
Except
the very start of the season. I feel like the start of the season was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I think the only reason you're saying that is because of the expectations you bring to this team. Like, if you were pulling for them to be decent, you would enjoy certain games far more. Now, I'll give you this. The Houston game, not fun. Not fun at all. I don't want to watch Justin Jackson shoot the ball.
Dude, the last two weeks have not been fun at all.
I don't know, man. Watching Shea do work against the Knicks and the Nets was a blast.
Yeah, but like, let's go.
Which was more than 2 weeks ago, probably. But
like, let's like really go for it.
Is this all that? Is this? What do you mean they really go for it?
Like, he's doing well. He's playing too seriously and deliberately. I need him to let loose and show us what he's got.
He's in all-star consideration. Like, he's playing. What do you want from him?
I want him to put up 25 shots. I want to see him get 40.
You're not going
to
see it, man.
What Alex said last night, Kelly Oubre has more points at 34, or was it 40?
40.
Yeah, Kelly Oubre's a gunner, man.
So let's see. What's the point?
Shea's not a gunner, though. That's not in his basketball DNA.
All right.
You know, that's not, you know, I mean.
I know, but I want someone to do it. I thought this year we'd at least get like, okay, Bazley's trying more things. Like, Bazley's really good.
Listen, they have a lot of guys that understand the game and want to play it the right way. That's just the nature of this team. They don't have any, the only gunner they have is Hamidou Diallo.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually done a really good job with him this year. They're really trying to rein him in,
mm-hmm,
and teach him like his spots on the court. He's still taking mid-range jumpers with 18 left on the shot clock, but he has been better.
Watching this team, there's been
development with him.
Watching this team treat games like it's very serious practice. Development is not fun.
I am with you. That is not fun. I'm with you on that. It's not. Hey. And I also think that some of this has to do with Poku being gone.
100%. He's the only...
Poku is fun.
The only fun potential comes from Poku.
I don't disagree. Because it is a team of professional basketball players. It is with a team... like
a coach that is very serious and very good and very intentional.
Uh-huh.
And these are all great things for a team being better later. As a fan, watching this as entertainment... no fun.
Also, I will say that the bar was set so high for us because we had Russell Westbrook for so many years because he's the antithesis of this team.
Yeah.
Because if he was on this team, he would take all the shots.
Oh, man. It'd be so fun.
He would take every single shot. And if it wasn't a shot, it better be an assist.
Yeah.
Is the way that he would function. And he was a human highlight reel for so long. And we were spoiled by Russ in that anything could be fun. Like any game, any moment could just be spectacular because of him.
Like it's funny, like I feel like the front office and ownership has always pushed this like blue collar team for a blue collar state and a blue collar fan and blah, and it feels like this is actually the first team that really matches that.
Without a doubt. Yes. And no one is gunning for their own. They're looking for the right shot.
Yeah. Maybe this is a team they've been trying to build the whole time.
We finally got a blue collar, hard working, nose in the ground team.
When you have a team with the talent level of this team, you either do that or you're the worst team of all time.
Yeah.
This question doesn't lead to a bigger question. It's just, is this fun?
No, I have another bigger question for you if you'd like it.
Lay it on us.
Jerry, are you with us?
Yeah. It's funny. Like, I'm defending the other side of this, and I'm like, I haven't watched one of their games with a lot of intention in probably a week.
I also think that right now we're in the worst that this season I think is going to get, to where it's we play Houston, and then Minnesota, Lakers. Like it's like Groundhog Day, which we just had. We're living stuff and back to back. It's like we just saw this. Like this is happening again. Like and the first one was not great. I don't want to see the second.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do that for two and a half weeks, but a week and a half.
Yeah.
And without Shea for this one, they're possibly out without Dort tonight. No George Hill. Like some of the things that are making them a little more enjoyable to watch. No Poku, which for me, like what's even the point of watching this team at that point? Right. But I will be, and I said this in a text thread, and I know there'll be people that think I'm insane. I will be more excited to watch G League games than some of the games that I've watched of the Thunder in the last week.
Yeah. There weren't many people watching on Monday night against Houston in the second half that were in the arena, that were there in person. However, I did enjoy some Mike and Ikes that night.
Ooh.
Unbelievable.
Which was fun to eat and Ikes. And also, they served us hot spaghetti and meatballs that night.
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Yes, which was very fun. Very fun.
Did you get a packet of Parmesan cheese?
They didn't have any. They did have ketchup, which I threw at Royce I walked through.
They gave you ketchup for your spaghetti?
No, they just had it sitting out. And Royce, I walked away and Royce was like, man, I wish they had some ketchup. And I said, I'll see what I can do. Found some.
There's no. He didn't put it on his.
He had. By the time I got back, he had already eaten. He said that would be his little halftime snack.
Wow. That's lovely.
I love spaghetti.
A ketchup packet?
Just a little ketchup packet.
Royce is like, if Royce gets that 2:30 feeling in the afternoon, he's like, man, I'm getting tired. He just pounds a couple ketchups.
He goes to the fridge and just. Yeah, that's gross.
Well, I guess I thought maybe we were going to get more of a debate, but I guess we're kind of all on the same page. We're all equally bored here.
This season was going to be this.
Yeah, I guess I did expect a little bit more, I think. I think I expected just like some games where, man, Bazley's really trying things. He postered someone this game. Or, I thought we'd get more highlights. I thought we'd get more zing.
They don't have zing-zang guys.
They really don't. I wish Shea was.
The only one is Hami.
But right? He hasn't even been. I mean, they're trying to rein him in, so he's like dribbling to get to the frickin' elbow for a pull-up jumper.
No, he's not trying to get. He's trying to get to the bucket.
I've seen a lot of pull up.
There's too many elbow jumpers.
That's what they're trying to rein in.
Yeah, that's that is exactly what they're trying to rein in. L-Man, you have an online deep dive?
Well, I thought you had a bigger question.
I can ask you a bigger question.
No.
This can be your deep dive.
No, here's my deep dive. That lady that got kicked out.
Okay, let's talk about this.
Oh, no. Man. So this lady, LeBron, got into it, I guess, with this lady's husband. And to start off, the lady is 25 and the guy is 60. Seemingly 60. I would guess 55, but probably 60.
That's, yes. And, he's got to be 60. Yeah.
And they reviewed the tape, or someone reviewed it. And the only thing that they can hear him, LeBron, say about this guy is he calls him old steroid ass.
Yeah.
which you see, he's, he's a very fit guy. Which makes me decide I want to do steroids. I would do.
If you can look like that,
I would do one. But on.
I would do one.
I would do
not. A very experienced man on steroids. I would do one.
I would do one round of steroids. But I went to the girl's Instagram, which is now private.
Really?
But her followers have jumped up pretty well. And she's just defending her man. I love to see that.
She loves him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's true love. There's no doubt about that. They kind of had a deep dive on the Dan Le Batard show about it a little bit. So I have some info for you on that.
Okay. All right.
They met at a nightclub in Miami. That was where they had their first kiss. And they split their time between Miami and Atlanta. Yes. Yes, Luke.
I love that.
Yes.
This is love, man.
This is true love. And she has her own YouTube channel where she teaches you how to do your hair for when you go to Turks and Caicos.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. And they do a couple's Q&A, I guess.
No.
And you really get into their relationship where they met, how their true love really formed.
Wow. I love that. Yeah. Network also on Twitter was was aghast that she was 25.
Yeah.
And on her Instagram, she posted, to prove it, she posted her passport for a portion of it that showed her birthday.
Is that all she's got? She doesn't have a driver's license?
Well, I don't know. It's form of ID. You can get into a bar with it. It's sufficient.
Wow.
Okay. But I loved it. I loved it. I the other thing is I cannot believe that Atlanta has fans on the sidelines.
I know.
That aren't wearing masks.
Well, they took taken off the mask to yell at them.
Why would that be allowed?
I don't know.
Well, apparently it wasn't. They got kicked out.
But the other thing, they found old pictures of LeBron when he was in Cleveland and this guy on the sidelines in Atlanta. He's been giving LeBron crap for years.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Yes. And you just see the same guy just there.
In Cleveland or in Atlanta when
in
he was
Atlanta
on Cleveland?
In Atlanta when he was on Cleveland.
Interesting.
And so it, it's just great.
Do you think those courtside seats are more expensive this year or less?
I bet they're the same price.
I have no idea. Those are probably season ticket holders, so that's probably the same.
But I loved it. That's my deep dive. And Taylor even went deep.
We went there. I was very into this story, too. I thought it was hilarious.
It was really good.
And she was, posting. I was seeing a lot of her selfie videos as she was, walking out of the arena, just really pissed off and saying she would F LeBron up, which is funny.
It is good.
Wow. I will F him.
I'm afraid they're not going to be invited back, but they probably will be.
I have no idea. Let's take a quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS. You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
And now we're back from that quick break.
Twitter questions!
We're back. Twitter questions. Our first Twitter question comes from @Freaky_Siddiqui, who wants to know, why do the Thunder keep winning when we specifically ask them not to?
Mark D, man.
He's a good coach. I think that's right.
I like him. He's what he's throwing out there, the players are latching on to, and I think you can tell because after the games, the players are saying the same stuff that he says pregame about like certain phrases, and so it's like they're
young, multiple minds.
They're all on the same page.
I like that,
which helps.
I like that. Twitter question comes from @Bangelo, who wants to know, at what point do we get worried we're too good to tank?
Well, I mean, if they get through the month of February and are anywhere at or above 500, then I think you should worry. Because they got Minnesota, which are both winnable games,
Minnesota,
but they're without
Minnesota,
Shane.
Minnesota.
Lakers, Denver, Milwaukee, Portland, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Miami, San Antonio, Atlanta, Denver. So if they can get through that and be at or above 500, then... You can worry.
No, it's over because it's a shortened season. I mean, at that point, our season is completely screwed. We're too good. It's over.
I'm just saying, if they can get through that and be close to 500, then they're not going to make the playoffs, and they're probably not going to make the play-in.
You're also going to be so mad because you've lost your bet.
I'm probably going to lose my bet anyways. I mean, I probably lost my bet Wednesday, really.
Yeah, I think you have one win left. No, two wins left.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And you didn't have to give us both $100.
No, it upped. Jay questioned us, so it got up to
each 200. Each,
yeah. Oh, 200. Yeah.
Right.
That's Jay.
But I do have this idea that like the team, your coach, and your organization can be so good that it uplifts this crappy team to like the middle of the pack where you don't want to be.
Just wait and see where we are at the end of the month.
All right, we'll hold off on this.
There's a lot of wanting to jump to conclusions, and that was happening, you know, even like when they beat Phoenix, right?
Mm-hmm.
They beat Phoenix, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, this team. And then by Monday night, the conversation after losing to Brooklyn by a lot and losing to Houston is a lot, is like, all right, tank time. They're horrible. And then they beat Houston again. It's like, oh my gosh, this team is too good. It's just, it bounces back and forth at every single game. Trust me, it does. It's
you know what that is? That's a 500.
It's annoying is what it is.
It's annoying, but it's a 500 debate for a 500 team.
It's absolutely an annoying debate.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @KylePanabaker. He wants to know, do Cade, Suggs, Mobley, etc., have all real superstar potential? We look at Zion and Luka as those franchise-altering type players, but I just don't feel like these guys are getting that kind of buzz in college.
Yeah, I mean, part of it's that Cade isn't somebody he fit really well on this Thunder team, and that he's not a guy that's going to go out there and take 50 shots. And I mean, the dude asked to come off the bench the other day for Oklahoma State. He's going to be a tremendous leader at the pro level, and I think that he's going to be a guy that affects winning at a high level. But he's also not like the craziest athlete. Like, he's not a Russ level athlete either. So I think all those things kind of play in. Zion was easy to pump up because he was this giant man that could jump just crazy out of the gym and
bursting out of his sneakers.
Yes, yeah. Literally,
literally
destroyed his sneakers on the court because he is just such a giant. That one was easy to pump up. Luka was not. Before the draft, there were so many questions about what Luka was. Some people were calling him like a better version of Joe Ingles. I mean, that's what was happening with Luka. So Luka's not this. The hype wasn't the same amongst the people that knew what they were talking about. Yes, but amongst like the general basketball community, no. And so I think the hype with Cade and Luka are probably similar. And I'm not saying that. I mean, if Cade was as good as Luka, that would be unbelievable because he was an MVP candidate in his second year. I mean, that's a high mark to hit. But I think Cade Cunningham is there with regards to hype. And then I think
Jalen Suggs is a guy that if you look at somebody that's going to be the one that, if you go back to the conversation we had during Tayshaun's factoid Fickery Dickery, like, I think there is a part of it where Jalen's the more exciting guy probably than Cade, but Cade has the potential to be and I know that it's going to take an incredible amount of luck for this to happen, but if Oklahoma City and Cade were paired together, I'm not sure there's been a prospect that was more perfectly wired for the culture of the Oklahoma City Thunder than Cade Cunningham.
He also chose to come to Oklahoma to play college basketball.
Right. And maybe the Thunder have to hire his dad or his brother, one of the coaches. And that,
bring him on, man. Bring him on the staff.
Whatever it takes. Mobley is a wild card in the sense that he is, if he becomes any part of what he could be, he'll be maybe the most unique center to ever play the game. Mm-hmm. In the sense that he can do everything on the basketball court. His three-point shot isn't quite there. But he is one of those guys that's just a unicorn in every sense of the word. The other one that I think...
See, there is a Jokic, you know.
Yes, but yeah, I mean, they would be very similar, except for Jokic is obviously far larger, like three times maybe the size of Mobley, which is what I'm concerned about.
At that point, it's really not a stretch that he's three times the size of Mobley.
And then the other guy that I think you're going to watch here this week, actually, is I think Jalen Green's the other guy. Just from what I've seen from the limited clips, because most of what we're watching for him is AAU and high school.
Yeah.
Jalen Green's the guy that honestly is the guy that gets me the most excited to watch him play just because he's a streaky, high energy scorer, can defend if he wants to. Like, he's kind of the guy, and we'll see. He may show up in the G League and not be as exciting as he was. But from what are the indications that I'm getting from people that seem to know what they're talking about, is Jalen Green's another guy I get pretty excited about. So I don't know if these guys, if I was going to bet, I think Cade is that franchise altering player. Yeah. It makes me terrified that he's going to end up in Detroit, with a good prospect, if you get him in a good organization, it can dramatically impact who they become, the full extent of who they become. So Cade's the one I'm obviously the most excited about, but I think those other guys have high potential obviously as well. I don't know if they're kind of that generational talent, but we'll see.
Yeah. No one thought Russ was a generational talent. I mean, certainly not.
And also we thought KD was the perfect guy for OKC culture wise.
For a decade, he kind of was.
Yeah, he kind of was.
He was until he wasn't.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @Ducky, who says, last season it seemed like CP3 took Shy under his wing. This season it seems like Horford's taken Bays under his wing.
Luke.
Who will be the next veteran player with an untradeable contract that the Thunder bring in to
Luke.
Take Dort under their wing?
Shy,
you just want to see the world burn.
You do want to see the world
you
burn.
You really do. You son
it's hard. You may be nailing it perfectly in the sense that it's a bit, but it feels like it's not a bit. And so if that's what you're doing, you're doing a wonderful job.
I think it wasn't, and
you
turned it into a bit.
Yeah.
Which is good. Improv
is good.
Yeah.
That's improv at its best. Any untradeable wings out there? I would have said, you know, maybe they already have him in Trevor Ariza, right?
Yeah.
But he won't even join us.
Where? I keep forgetting he's alive.
Where's he at? Where's he living?
He's at, I don't know where he's living. LA just probably.
Downtown?
Okay. Are there?
Yeah, Bricktown. Deep Deuce.
Andrew, let me ask you a question. Are there any, like, who's out there other than I think the ones we know of, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, who has the gigantic contract that, I mean, Blake Griffin is another one, but none of those guys fit into trying to help Dort become a better professional basketball player. I don't know who that would be.
Tobias was almost one of those guys, and then he kind of has had a resurgence this year.
He's bounced back.
I don't know what other bad contracts are out there. That was obviously a lot of that was the fruit of some super maxes that didn't really work out for the franchise, and then the year of 2016. But those have all gone away.
I've got it. DeMar DeRozan.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's the number one for all time. 1A, 1B, 1C.
Yep, that's right. I think DeMar could teach Dort a lot about just scoring in general. It's the next step for Dort.
Is to
learn from DeMar.
You want to make this team more boring? You know what? Actually, that's how boring this team is. DeMar would bring some zing, zang, zong.
He would bring some zing.
He would bring some zing, zang, zong.
He would. Definitely. He's been good this year, by the way.
He's got good dunks. Listen, I like watching him dunk. Everything else about him,
he's been good. I think if he was on this team, you would have a Chris Paul-like resurgence with him.
No!
I firmly believe it. That you would be like, you know what? DeMar DeRozan's pretty good.
No, he is
helpful.
No.
I absolutely believe that in my heart of hearts.
You believe that about me?
Yes. Yes.
I do too.
Luke, what's he even saying?
I don't know.
Yeah. I have one contract that would never happen in a million years. But if the Thunder wanted to absorb this guy's contract, it would be actually a pretty good player for Dort to learn from. Draymond Green is owed a lot of money for the next 3 years on a team that may be okay, maybe not okay. That would be somebody that I don't, like I said, never going to happen. But we also probably said that about Chris Paul. But
yeah.
I think Draymond would be somebody that could teach Dort a little bit more, kind of the nuance of defense, how it can be even more of a pestering presence on the court.
I know that that's someone I would immediately love if he was on my team. I know it.
Draymond?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Maybe.
No, I know. That's one.
I can see the future, and I think DeRozan is
Why do you
guy.
Think you know me better than I know me? Because you might.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from We'll See Gabriel.
What are the sounds coming out of your mouth?
Who says, can I get a Pokemon drop from my man getting sent to the G League?
Oh, no. Poku getting sent to the G League. Here we go.
Pokemon!
Maybe we'll do like we'll keep up with Poku's G League.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. It may be the most fun thing to happen over the course of the next 3 weeks.
Dude, if Poku has like goes like a 5-for-5 from three in a G League game,
go wild.
Oh, scratch my belly and call me Nancy.
No.
Andrew, if you want it, man, I will be right here watching the G League game, live streaming with you if you want it.
All right. Of course I want it.
I'm making my whole Friday oriented around that G League game.
Yeah. You guys want to do Zoom watch parties on the G League games?
Yes.
That would be funny.
Yes. Yes.
Let's do it. All right. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. Hold on. Oh, it comes from @Ben Elephant King. What's your worst movie theater experience?
Ooh. I think the worst movie theater experience happened with Alex. We were, I don't know, we were maybe 13 years old. Parents dropped us off at the mall. Going into the mall, wanted to go see a movie. The only movie that we wanted to see was a movie called How High. We weren't old enough to see that movie. So we bought tickets for Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in the theater, and immediately people start following us. We sit down for How High in the very top corner, hoping to watch the movie. And before we even get to the previews, we are yanked out of that theater and kicked to the curb.
Y'all must have been really, like, really acting nervous if they noticed you.
We really must have been. It seriously was seconds of sitting down in the theater. They're
that
like, all right,
hilarious.
Look at these kids trying to go see this movie. You know, in hindsight, we should have just gone to see Harry Potter.
So did you just leave the movie theater?
We just left, yeah.
Because you got, like, when you're that young and you get in trouble or get caught, you just feel so
it's your
light.
Tail between your legs. You're just getting out of there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know what mine is off the top of my head. I would say I really got to the point where I can't really do midnight like movie things. I get too tired.
Yeah.
It might have been. I went and saw Interstellar by myself. I didn't, and I fell asleep. I almost fell asleep.
There was a part where I was like, I'm about to fall asleep.
That's a good one. That's an easy one to fall asleep to late at night, though.
There's like a spot during that movie where, like, I think a lot of people, like, almost fell asleep.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are pockets of that movie that are very sleepable.
And I
yeah.
had to, like, get up and, like, go outside and, like, walk around for a little bit. And I, like, got some food, and I was like, I need to walk around or else I'm going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
I watched the final Harry Potter. Well, I went with a group of friends, and they were real late in getting tickets, or they bought them the night of. But it was like a midnight showing or something like that, or 10 o'clock showing. And I'm not a huge Harry Potter guy. Like, I've watched them all, but it wasn't something where I was like dressed up for it or anything like that. So I show up and the tickets are front row and on the corner of the front row. And so, I mean, it almost like nauseating experience. Watching it because you can't focus on the entire screen. You're focused on like individual parts. That was probably in the running for my worst movie theater experiences. I miss movie theaters, by the way.
Right. I know.
I went and saw Austin Powers Goldmember, which I guess came out in 2002, which would have put me, turned 11 that year.
Yeah, I was going to say you were not very old.
I turned 11 that year. So who I had to go see it with was my mother. And as an 11-year-old, this is pre things starting to change, but things are starting to change and shift.
Yeah,
in my body.
Sure.
Goldmember was so awkward to watch next to my mother, and she was like laughing at stuff, but I still remember it. She was laughing at stuff, but trying to not laugh at stuff because she was like, "Can I laugh with my 11-year-old son about this? I don't know." So that was probably the worst movie going experience.
Yeah. I would also say another bad experience was my grandma took all of her grandchildren to see, what's the name of that movie? Everybody's Lost in the Woods.
How High?
No, not High. She took us all to see How High.
Into the Woods. That movie?
No, the one where they're carrying the camera. They're in the woods.
Oh, Blair Witch
Blair
Project.
Blair Witch Project. She took us all to see the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, I bet you're all too young for that.
We were way too young for that. It was horrifying.
Oh, God.
I didn't even know what we were going to see.
You were going to see a documentary about people getting killed by witches.
Yes, it was. I was ruined.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
It was a scary movie. It's a cultural moment.
It was.
Blair Witch Project. All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from Warner West 2, who wants to know, taking into account contract, age, role, etc., which rookie point guard would you prefer over Theo, if any?
Theo!
Luke, I hate you.
Help us. Help us all. I mean, there's...
Rookie point guard.
What rookie... I mean, obviously, Haliburton is the one that comes to mind first.
Yes.
And LaMelo.
He has been tremendous. Yeah, LaMelo as well. Yeah, I think that you'd... And I think when he's talking about contracts, like you're paying LaMelo $8 or $9 million a year, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is fair.
Well, that's spent $8 or $9 million on his rookie moment.
On his top shot. I would say Halliburton, LaMelo, for sure, are ones that you would take. Are there any others?
Would you take Peyton Pritchard?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
He's been fun. He's been fun for the Celtics, but I would not take Peyton Pritchard. Not a chance.
Killian Hayes.
I mean, Hayes has played 7 games. He got hurt. He likely will be out the rest of the season. It's just really difficult to say.
What about Cole Anthony?
No.
Hell no.
I know you're out on him. And
I was out on him early and remain out.
Is Tyrese Maxey more of a shooting guard?
I gotta go. I'll see you later.
Oh, wait. Do we have...
Oh, no. I forgot to do
it. We didn't make a drop.
Oh, this is going to be my drop for when I have to leave.
Okay.
Okay, it's this. Ba-ma-ba-ba-ma-ba-wow.
Okay. Bye, Luke.
Bye, old man.
Bye, Luke.
Bye, Luke.
Bye, RJ Luke. Hampton, no.
No.
Get out of here, Luke. You're distracted. We still have to do a podcast. We can't worry about your cramping.
Yeah, please.
Butt.
Please.
What about Emmanuel Quickly?
Quickly is interesting. I wouldn't say he's I guess he's kind of a point guard. He's definitely more of a scorer. He would be the guy, Taylor, that you would say.
Oh, yeah. I like Quickly.
The most fun.
Did you see him swim on the ground the other day?
Yes.
See, I like stuff like that. We need more antics. We have no antics.
There are very few antics on the OKC Thunder. This is true.
That's kind of it.
I think that's kind of the heart of the question too.
Yeah. I like Teo, by the way. When I think of how boring this team is, I don't include him.
Yeah.
Cause he's been pretty,
they good. Have Desmond Bane's a shooting guard, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. They have him. One of these things I'm looking at has him listed as a kind of a hybrid. Like, he doesn't feel like a hybrid.
No, it maybe it's just because he's not that tall.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is from at Darren EB1. Thoughts on Bazley and our offense moving forward? I think that he needs a bigger role and more shots and touches, which should come after Horford and Hill are moved. A lot of the time, he seems to be a secondary option for Shea, and it's usually just as a dump off when Shea is double teamed.
I think the thing for Bazley that if I could give him one kind of thing to grow into as a part of this team, as part of this offense, I just want to see him be more aggressive. He's still passive. You see him pass up shots that are open. Like I would always rather him, if it's wide open, even for a second, just shoot it. Mm-hmm. Just shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not be the guy that shoots 20 times? Because he seems like he's at least somewhat of a rhythm guy from the three-point line. Like, shoot the ball. And then when he gets to the rim, it's I just want to see him be more aggressive. Like, he has the ability, and we see it from time to time. Like, he's athletically gifted enough to really elevate and get to the rim aggressively. And too often he will try to kind of pull the ball back, go underneath, kind of lay it up on the side. And that's, I think, a lot of what makes the indecision for him when he gets to the rim, which is still there. It's one of the things we're hoping to see grow. And I think it's probably grown a little bit, but not to the point that I think I was hoping to see in Bazley. But for me, it's all about aggression. Like, be aggressive. Like, if Bazley had Hami's confidence and aggressiveness, it would be a perfect combination of a player for who we want out of Bazley. So I still believe it's there. I think it's there for Bazley, but he just even looks timid on the floor sometimes, which is not really what you want out of a player.
Yeah, he's really picking his spots. And I think they are throwing a lot at him. I think he's thinking a lot when he's on the court.
Yeah,
and
you can see that.
I would say that in time, I think that he'll become more fluid. And that could come this season, as soon as this season, because I do think he's a quick learner. I think that we've seen that as well. As far as defense goes, I mean, at the beginning of last season to the playoffs, he became a much different defender. And so with these offensive responsibilities, I would guess that things will change for him.
Even like compared to last year, when he puts the ball on the floor and tries to go to the rim, and in those moments, Jay, you're talking about where we see it every now and then. I remember last year he'd put the ball on the floor and didn't really have the moves or these go-to movements that he could get past a player and just finish at the rim. And this year he does, and he's dunking it when he does it too. But he really has a pretty good handle. And when he can pump fake and put the ball on the floor and go to the rim, he should be really trying to finish like hard because he could jump over some people.
Mm-hmm.
He can.
He's been really, really working on his Euro step.
Yeah.
And tries it a lot. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's something. I mean, he's really trying to develop some moves.
I wish we would run some kind of like, some kind of clear out pick and roll and try to run more. I know we don't have the best passers when it comes to alley-oops on this team, clearly. But that is a dude who, like, we should be trying to run more things with him. Or like that, you remember that just where he'd cut on the baseline from the corner.
Yeah.
And they'd throw it up from the top of the key. Like, he is that athletic that should be running.
He should be the lob catcher.
Yes.
Instead, they threw a lob to Al Horford in the last game.
Yeah, it was great.
Hilarious. That was a highlight.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Third in the MPP voting.
Miffed and peeved.
I guess miffed and peeved?
I am. Do you want to hear about it?
Yep. Yeah, that's what this is all about. That's
the point of this segment. So I've at least said this on the pod before. So I was diagnosed with COVID mid-December. Spent Christmas in COVID isolation. And here's the deal is the thing is that they don't tell you, or I didn't read enough of, is that it just lingers for everybody or for a lot of people. Cause you know, there's these long haulers, but for some people it lingers in like weird ways. And I've told this to the podcast guys. I'm not sure I mentioned this on the pod. So if I did and it's redundant, I apologize, but I lost my taste and smell. Most of it's back. I would say almost 100%. It's a little bit different. But here's what happens is now I get phantom smells from time to time and randomly, and it's still happening. It's been 5 weeks six weeks. And every once in a while, I'll be sitting here and just smell cigarette smoke for prolonged amounts of time.
Dude, crazy.
You might want to check your son's backpack, though. He might be getting a cigarette. Yeah,
that would be shocking. So I went to my ENT and he was just like, this is just one of the things. So your cells are growing back and some of the nerve things that were impacted by the virus are trying to figure out what's going on. And so like I have to, like anytime I start smelling cigarette smoke, I take something that's really strong that I know the smell of. Like I have these little essential oil like peppermint next to me.
Uh-huh.
And I just sniff it and then try to retrain my brain
Does
to
it
know
work?
What smells are. Yeah, it at least stops it for a minute. And then the other thing is if I really flare my nostrils and take a big inhale through my nose, then also the smell goes. It's the weirdest thing I've ever experienced.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.